Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen. Well, tonight, again, is Maundy Thursday, and this is a night where we remember two things especially. We remember the Lord's Supper, and we remember the great commandment of Christ to love one another. And tonight, I'd like to look with you at that second part, the great commandment of Jesus to love one another. And what does that mean for us to love one another? How do we do that? What is Jesus talking about here? Let's take a look at these things, especially how to love in hard times. Let's see what God says to us about loving one another. And to start out, let's look at that verse where he gives this great commandment. John chapter 13, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, when Jesus had thus spoken, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And then he gave the morsel to Judas, and Judas went out to betray Christ. And then Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So there it is. We read the great commandment to love. And what does it mean to love? Well, the word, first off, in the Greek, agapao, has a number of different meanings. For one, it is a deep, passionate feeling of love for another one, such as in Ephesians 2, where it says God loved us with the great love wherewith he loved us. He sent his Son to be our Savior. That deep, passionate care for another person felt strong in the heart. Also, it is a love for your superiors, namely a duty, namely that you're faithful and loyal. It can be used in that way, that you dutifully do the right thing to others at all times. And it's also with respect to loving one's enemies. Now, when you love your enemy, does that mean you have warm, fuzzy feelings and you can't wait to send him a Hallmark card at Valentine's Day and box of chocolates? No. It means that when they seek to do you harm, that you seek to do them good anyway. If they seek to destroy your life, you still seek to save theirs. Loving your enemies, that kind of love. And Jesus says, "This is a new commandment I give to you." Is that true? Obviously it is. Jesus said it. But is that entirely a new commandment? It is new in the sense that it is clearly spoken here by Jesus in a way that it was not so clearly spoken before. But in a sense, it is also an old commandment, which you had from the beginning, as John the Apostle says. For remember, one time one of the scribes came up to Jesus and said, "Which is the greatest commandment of all?" And Jesus says, "Hear this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Then the scribe says, "You've spoken well, teacher. Truly to do this is greater than all the other burnt offerings and sacrifices, etc." And Jesus, when he saw that he answered wisely, said to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So even in the Old Testament days, there was the command to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Do you do that tonight? Of course, none of us are perfect, but God wants us to strive, pouring out everything that we are in a love for him and laying down our lives for each other, because Jesus says we're to love as he has loved us. And that is the kingdom of God, friends. That's what God is all about. God says, John says of God, God is love. And in him is no darkness at all. And we can't claim to love God and hate one another, for you haven't seen God. How can you claim to love a God you haven't seen when you don't love your brother whom you have seen, says John. So love one another. And actually, that is the climax of all the apostles' teaching, along in the gospel of Christ, that is. Peter says, "Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another." for that will cover a multitude of sins. And Paul said, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast what is good. And John the Apostle wrote, 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he's commanded us. So if you look at this whole Bible, some people get stuck in it at times, right? They're reading it, and what do we do with Leviticus and Numbers? And it seems kind of, they don't know how it all goes together. But in a simple word, the whole Bible is this word, love. God's love for you, which is unfathomably deep and broad and high. And we are to love one another. And if you just love one another, all the other commandments are fulfilled just automatically. Because that's the sum of what God wants for us, for each other. But who are we supposed to love? Who do you think? Well, God commands us to love him and to love our neighbor. You remember that story? A lawyer comes up to test Jesus, and then later he says, but who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells a parable about the Good Samaritan. He says a man was walking down the road to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who came and beat him and mercilessly basically destroyed him, and he was left him half dead. And then a priest comes along and sees him and passes by on the other side. So also a Levite. But then a Samaritan who was dirty, ugly, unclean, an enemy of the Jews, comes by and sees the man, and he binds up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, takes him to the inn, and gives the innkeeper money, and says, if you need anything else taking care of this guy, I'll come back and pay it on my return journey. And what does Jesus say? He says to the lawyer, which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? What was your answer? Obviously. You know the story. The one who showed him mercy, he said. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. I want to ask you tonight, is that the aim of your life? To go and do likewise? To believe in Jesus, in his name, and then to go and love. That is the purpose that God has for your life. It's not to make money and all those other things, although we got to do that too along the way. But the aim, the sole scope, the crosshairs of your life should be love and loving others like Jesus loved us. That means you love anybody you meet, your fellow man, a Christian. You love a non-Christian. You even love your enemy, as the Samaritans were enemies to the Jews. And Jesus said this, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. That's what it is to love, to do good to them. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, here's the other one. Offer that one too. As you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. For he says this, if you only love people who love you, what credit is that to you? Right? Because even sinners love those who love them. In other words, if you were to look at the mafia, you know, Al Capone and all that stuff. I do good to those who do good to me. Right? I mean, even the mafia does good to people who love them. Then how much better are you than the mafia? But you are better if you love your enemies. That they do not do. Jesus says this gives you credit before God. It's no credit to you if you just love those who love you. Everybody does that, he says. Even wicked people do that. But Christians, people who are called out, citizens of heaven, sons of God, have a different heart that we love everybody, even our enemies. Just like those people on the beach that were slain by the Muslims recently, those Christians. They were there, and as I saw a story of them loving even their captors, praying for them. And so when you love your enemy, it's not lovey-dovey, let's go on a date type of love. It's to lay down, to seek their good, even when they seek your harm. And that's what God calls us to do. Do you do that? It's very hard at times when someone cuts you off on the road to do kindness to them and pray. It's obviously not our first thought sometimes. But it's the Holy Spirit within us that helps us. The world doesn't do this. But let's take a look at some human examples. I have a few stories for you tonight of love. For example, remember that story of Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton? He was an Antarctic explorer back in the early 1900s. They went down on an exploration, and their ship, the Endurance, got caught in the ice. And at one point, they were in an emergency hut, and they just handed out their last ration of biscuits, and after that, they had nothing. Well, in the night, he heard some movement in the tent, and he saw a shadow, a man, getting up from his little bedding area and going over to that of his neighbor. And he reached into the man's bag to get his biscuit. And he thought, this is the man I would have trusted my hands into. How could he do such a thing? But then he waited, and the man went up to his own basket, and he brought out his biscuit, took his and put it into the sack of his neighbor, and then went back to sleep. And so he gave his very last morsel of bread to his friend. Is that a picture of love for us? Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton said of that, I dare not tell you that man's name, for I felt that that act was a secret between himself and God. Do you go out of your way to do something like this, like a surprise, undercover loving act towards someone else? I know some of you do. I watch you do it. I see some of those secrets, and I bet a lot of them are not seen. But those will be disclosed as well on the day of the Lord. How about this one? Loving others is also to love them when you really don't feel like it. Do you ever feel like you shouldn't love, like you don't want to love somebody? Maybe they're dirty, or they're like a prostitute or something like that, or someone on the street. Well, the story of Francis of Assisi had a similar thought. He was terrified of leprosy, the story goes. And one day he was on a very narrow path in the countryside, and there was a stone wall on each side, and he saw a leper coming toward him. And he was terrified of leprosy, so he recoiled with horror, and he didn't know what to do. But then he was ashamed of himself that he should have had such a thought. He thought, no, I'm going to cast off all these things and love the man. And he went and grabbed him in his arms and gave him a kiss. Afraid that he'd catch the disease, he didn't care. He was going to love him. And he walked a few more steps after that and turned, and the man had disappeared. And after that, he thought for many years, hence, that it was not a leper that he'd met, but Christ himself upon the road. Do you think that could be said of you? Do you ever look down and say, well, I'll help these people, they're clean. But this Samaritan over here, or something like that, would you? Well, God says, humble yourself. This is what love is, to get down and destroy your pride and get down and say, everybody I see is my brother or my sister, and I'm going to serve them as if I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's to love our enemies. There's a story of the American Revolution. There was a Baptist minister. His name was Peter Miller. And he had a guy that would revile him and try to destroy his ministry and hated him. He was his worst enemy. Well, that man was caught for being a traitor and sentenced to death. And the Baptist minister, though, was a friend of George Washington. And he walked 70 miles one day in order to plead for his enemy's life. And when he went to the General Washington, he pleaded, please give the life of this traitor. Let him live. And Washington said, no, Peter, I cannot grant you the life of your friend. To which the old preacher said, my friend? He's not my friend. He's my worst and bitterest enemy that I have. And Washington said, what? You've walked 70 miles to save the life of your enemy? Well, that puts the matter in a different light. I grant you your pardon. And the Baptist minister, Peter, took Michael, his enemy, home, and they became friends. So goes the story. Now, would you do that? Love your enemy, go even an extra mile or 70 in order to help out someone that hates you? Well, that's something that is unearthly. That is a love that is not seen upon this earth. That is a heavenly love, and it's got to be Jesus Christ inside you. That's a testimony that you're a Christian. Listen to these words of Scripture which describe love in the most beautiful words. Think of it applying into your life. Love is patient. And love is kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't rejoice at the wrong, but it rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. As for prophecy and such things, they'll pass away, but not love. Love endures forever. Think about that. When we get to heaven, what are we going to have? Do we need faith in heaven? No, we're going to see him. Do we need hope in heaven? No, we already got everything we were hoping for. But love, that's going to be here forever. Let's start practicing it now. This is our heritage for all time. And it transcends all human divisions and makes them at peace. Another American Revolutionary story, there was a British soldier, Duncan McCall, who was under the guard of an American officer who commanded that this British officer be kept safe. He said, "Hold your fire, men. That man has work to do, work of God." Well, after the American Revolution, the story goes that Duncan McCall went up to Canada, British-controlled, and he started a church just over the St. Croix River in Maine. And he had people from Calais, Maine, come to his church, as well as people from Canada and that town there. Well, the War of 1812 came along a few years later, and America and Britain were again at war. But because of his work, this church actually ignored the war and remained brothers, worshiping together. And that fellowship, it is said, that friendliness between these two towns has remained because of that man's work throughout time. To that, you can go there today, and St. Stephen and Calais, Maine, still are sister towns. Though they're separated by a national border, the love that they have for one another transcends all bounds. They share the same fire department, apparently. And on the 4th of July, the Canadian Mounties march in the parade right alongside the Americans. And in return, the Maine troops march right alongside the British when they're honoring the Queen. You see, love, when we have love for one another, it just destroys enemies and borders and country lines and things. I could know someone from China or Nepal or Australia or Tasmania or wherever. If there is love, there is unity. And that's the kingdom of God to which we're bound, where everybody loves each other, gets down and serves each other, cares for each other. And I've seen you doing this at Christ Lutheran, and I'm proud of you for it. Sending cards to each other, checking on each other when sick, praying for those in need, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, building houses for the poor in the Caribbean, witnessing on the street in Friday Fest, forgiving each other, being kind to those who are not kind to you. That this is the essence of what God wants us to do in this commandment. So how do we do this when it's hard? What do you think? The answer is found in what Jesus said. The new commandment is to love others as I have loved you. Where does love begin, friends? Does it begin with us? No way. We love, says John, because God first loved us. We got to look at what God did for us at the cross when he loved his enemies. He laid down his life for those who were brutally destroying him. And when that love and that amazing grace gets into our hearts, then we will start to love one another. Love has got to begin there. Are you a Christian tonight? Contemplate that cross and God's love for you, and then a fire will be burning in your heart. Without that cross, without God's love, you can't have it. You'll be cold as a stone. And what do we see that love looks like in our Savior? Jesus, on the night when he's betrayed, he got up from supper, he took a basin of water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Check that out, would you? Say amen if you love that. This is the King of Heaven who deserves to be served, gets down on his knees and serves and washes his disciples' feet. Then he wipes them gingerly with the towel with which he was girded. Do you love like that? Husbands, Randy, David, Greg, let's do that this week. I challenge you, wash your wife's feet. I'm telling you to do it. I've done it before. And it is an amazing experience. Get down there and just get some warm water and gently caress her feet or that of your daughter, like my daughter Naomi, or wives, you can do it to your husbands. It will be an amazing experience for you. I challenge you to do it. And consider this one more story. There was a Wycliffe Bible translator. His name was Doug Meland and his wife. They went to a village in Brazil with the Fulneo Indians. And at that time, the white man, as often happens, exploited and robbed the Indians and burned their homes a lot of times. So they were very not liking this guy. And when they first got there, they called him the white man. But then, after he learned their language and began to help the people with medicine and to do them good day after day, they began to call Doug the, quote, respectable white man. But then he began adapting to the customs of the people, and they gave him greater acceptance. And then they began to spoke of Doug as the white Indian. And then, one day, they saw Doug get down washing the feet of a Fulneo Indian boy, the black caked foot of an Indian boy. And one bystander said, "Who ever heard of a white man washing a poor Indian's feet? They'd never seen such a thing before. Certainly, this man," they said, "is from God." And from that day on, whenever Doug would go out into an Indian home, it would be announced, "Here comes the man that God sent us." Amen? Oh, if that could be said of Christ Lutheran. Here comes the people whom God has sent to this community. They wash our feet, and we can't believe the love that we see in their hearts. And we know that that's what Jesus, his love, to the perfect 100% degree. When we were weak, when we were helpless, at that time Christ died for you. He didn't come to save you when you were righteous. He came to save you when you were a sinner and you're an enemy. The Bible says God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, at that time Christ died for us. And since we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Imitate Jesus Christ and receive his love into your hearts tonight. Because by this we know love, says John, that he laid down his life for us. And we therefore ought also to lay down our lives for each other. In Jesus' name,